I think most of my messages, the conclusions have already been given by the previous speakers, but I will try to do my best. I have no conflict of interest to declare. As we have been hearing, this audience knows that neonatal mortality is very high in the developing world. And sepsis is one of the major factors, apart from asphyxia, that gives rise to high neonatal deaths in those countries. The first month in the deaths in the first month of life obviously is high. The neonatal mortality also, the mortality in the second month is very high in these countries. What we find in India is that although the infant mortality has really reduced drastically, the neonatal mortality has not. And that is probably due to the first month and the second month of life that have not been taken care of. And unfortunately, these rates are higher than countries like Sri Lanka and Indonesia. So there is something wrong happening in India. And again, bulk of these deaths take place in the village, in the community setting. If you go to any city in India and you have a heart attack, they can do bypass surgery when you are standing. You don't even need an anesthesiologist. They're clinically very strong. But if you are not there, you walk out and go 10 kilometers away, then you are dead. Even if nothing happens, the chance of surviving is pretty bleak. So it's a big disparity between cities and the villages, and nobody really takes care of the latter. And and the neonatal deaths account for about 2/3 of the infant deaths, and the rest that don't die, again, another 2/3 of them die in the second month. So if we take care of the first and second month of life, we can really reduce infant mortality in India. And as I told you, the conventional wisdom is that infants die in the community before they come to the hospital, and the parents avoid coming to the hospital for whatever reason it is. And more so, why should they even come to the hospital? There is nothing available, there is no physician, there are no medicines, so what's the point coming to the hospital? And I am now in Nebraska, heart of United States, where I am directing a Center for Global Health and Development, but I have been doing this work for the last 10, 12 years. And I obviously will be talking to you about India, and the work is being done in collaboration with Asian Institute of Public Health people. This is an eastern state, and we have three major sites, field sites, having more than 100 villages. And in fact, in the southern Orissa, we have 500 villages. And I will quickly go through a long process that we had to establish to do this population-based study, is to identify hospitals around these villages, or I should say in the vicinity, in the center of these villages, and start from the grassroots. And these are called Anganwadi workers. You heard about them. They don't belong to the health department. They belong to a department called Women and Child Development. And we had to set up neonatal intensive care units, which didn't exist even in the capital city. I mean, there are dozens and dozens of adult intensive care units. There were not a single for neonates. And then I wanted to have a lab because I have a lot of microbiology to do, because I was interested in microbiology, in sepsis. You go to the government-run hospital, this is how you look like. They do the tests, and then no gloves, needle, and you tell them, are you not scared? They say, oh, no, we don't have AIDS here. And this is the government-run biggest hospital in the capital city of Orissa. I said, that's fine, I'm not going to argue. We selected other hospitals, and literally we had to set up back-tech machines and freezers, and starting from scratch, everything from here, and train people and set up our own labs at four different parts of the country, including a reference lab in New Delhi or in Institute of Medical Science. Data management doesn't exist. You ask them how many babies die, how many babies take, you handle delivery. They say, oh, quite a few. So how many, 10, 100, 1,000? That's what we don't know. We have the data, it will take you 5 years to get it. Now it's getting better, but I had to establish data collection and data management center at each of the sites. Now coming to the Anganwadi training, the topic of my talk, because they didn't belong or they don't belong to the medical fraternity, we had to teach them about neonatal sepsis. So we did some classroom teaching, and then we also taught them, we gave, each pregnant woman was given a 60-day follow-up card, and then we did a pre- and post-evaluation. In the training, we taught them about the normal newborn and the common neonatal problems, and of course, quite a bit about neonatal sepsis, and there was some hands-on demonstration also. This was a manual that we created in local language, and then we had a follow-up card for 60 days that was given to the mother, and the Anganwadi worker visits and fills out those. And in the back, we had the death information. If the baby dies, they say, oh, no, we can't have the death info. That's not a good thing to have. So we had to design a separate card called a death card. And after the teaching, we did find that the basic knowledge of these Anganwadi workers went up drastically about neonatal health and sepsis. And this is the terrain which is not really new to this audience we work in, and we do a lot of home monitoring to make sure that indeed our population-based surveillance is working. We have one Anganwadi worker for a village, and for 7-8 of them we had a study manager, and for about 5 managers we had a supervisor who had to be somebody with a bike, motorbike, who could come to the hospital on a daily basis and give the data. We taught them how to record respiration rates. We had to design small little things, and also we made a movie. And in this movie, it's a local, it's a very popular song in that state, where she's talking about different sign symptoms, 10 sign symptoms of sepsis. But the neat part is when we did... And do you see the difference between the two? I showed you a small piece of each. The first one was a professionally made movie. And in the eastern part of Orissa, it worked beautifully. All the mothers, villagers came and listened, and they learned about it. When we did the same, showed the same movie in the western Orissa, which is 200 miles away, it didn't work at all. Nobody came, they didn't give a damn. And so we had to really do live opera for them, which doesn't cost a whole lot of money. For about $20-$25, you can call these people, you have the song, and they will dance to it, and everybody will assemble, they will listen, they will learn, and then again we found out that yes, they were learning. Now if I somehow can... sorry about that, and thank you for your patience. And we did very strong in-depth monitoring, and I don't think I have time to talk about this Anganwadi worker. When we think that the village women are the ones that are not literate, don't get the point, or they are not in sync with science, but if I have 3 extra minutes at the end, I can show to you that all these women, they may not have any formal education, but their IQ is very high, and they, if you teach them something, they can learn. As you can see in this graph, in the beginning, the mothers were not coming to our attached hospital because there is some kind of a barrier that if you go to the hospital, it's not a good idea, nobody will take care of you. So all of them, first of all, there were very few coming, and then they were all accompanied by the Anganwadi worker whom we trained. But within several months, as you can see, all of them started coming on their own. They didn't have to come with the Anganwadi worker at all. Then this is a 3-year study where the first year was a kind of a baseline data collection, and then the second year, and then and then year three. We had two different sites, as I told you. And then we looked at, we had collected a lot of maternal and infant demographic data, and we looked at death as an outcome measure in the first month of life. None of the factors were coming out as significant except birth weight. Low birth weight was, as expected, came out to be significant, and female babies were less likely to die. Again, that is something we know from our pediatric training. The young age, the younger the mother, the higher chances of the baby dying was just kind of showing up. And the site, when this Rourkela is a tribal site, we had about 150 villages in that site and another 150 in the different, in the East Coast. And I, as I told you, the tribals didn't care about the movie. And that's where more babies were likely to die in that area. In the second year, there was some trend, but we showed in the third year that there was significant reduction in the neonatal mortality. When we looked at the second month, or we combined the first and second month numbers, more or less the same pattern emerged, except that the age of the mother was significant. The younger the mother, the higher chances of death was there. Then we looked at some of the non-study areas in the same districts, and as you can see, the NMR here in our study area went down from 39 to 32 to 28, whereas in the non-study areas it remained in the 40 range over the 3 years. And around that time, there were RCH stands for Reproductive and Child Health 1. And that was a big program in India that ended. And before thinking of what good it did, they introduced RCH2. And before they knew that RCH2 was gone, they introduced something called National Rural Health Mission. And within that mission, there were so many different things, including Janani Surakha Yojana. There is ASHA you heard about. And then what they did is they said, you have to have another woman called ASHA in a village so that the mothers are going to come to the facility to deliver. Wonderful idea, but the facilities were not prepared. They will have, and then they started really flooding the small facilities because they were getting money. They said, oops, we didn't think of it. Let's introduce Yashoda. That's another name where a second lady goes there and helps the mother and the baby. But it's to me, it's more or less a chaos. Nobody really plans anything. They just respond to emergencies. So we thought that let us look at the years following our 2 years of study. And in the study area, we had brought it down to about 29, and it continued to be low. And this is where more or less where they introduced the other programs. But if you see in the non-study areas, it is not really having that much of a drastic effect. In conclusion, I can say that the Anganwadi training that we did, intensive training, resulted in significant reduction of NMR. Lower birth weight was associated with higher mortality. Female babies were less likely to die. And the tribal areas, babies were more likely to die. Age of the mother may have an impact because we saw it in the 260-day mortality numbers. But I wanted to emphasize that the existing government facilities, we didn't create any private hospital, we didn't do anything, we just brought them to the existing hospitals. Even in resource-poor settings, are functional. They're not totally dysfunctional. And multiple new programs can be introduced. Each one will have some impact, nothing against them. But I want to call it that they have limited impact on NMR reduction, because when we look at the non-study areas, it is going down slowly, but definitely not to the extent that we would like it to see. So adequate education at the village level, I call, is of paramount importance, and that has come out from the other talks, which is nothing new, but that has to be done in a context which is relevant to that place, to that country or state, or even within the state, there can be two or three or four different types of interventions and education programs that you have to conduct to have optimal effect. Thank you.